The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 11 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Philip Pobe. Here are today's headlines. COVID is costing Canadians in pocketbook, animal activists on trial, and getting out the youth vote. Today is the deadline for voter registration in the 2021 municipal election. However, young voters across the city feel left out. Alexa Toguri-Lorrain reports.
First-time voter Caleb McKay worries if he'll be able to vote for this year's municipal election. He experienced a language barrier when he received his voting information.
I'm not good at French, and everything they send you is in French. And my whole family, well, everyone who I live with, no one speaks French.
In the 2017 municipal election, almost 42% of Montrealers were eligible to vote. The youth vote holds great importance in every democratic election, yet they are underrepresented on the political. Political analyst Robert Frank says the municipal government hasn't caught up to young voters' interests based on the candidates' campaign promises.
For people in general, including youth, the question is whether the political process has served up a candidate who people consider worthy of voting for, and if there isn't, people become illusioned.
Montrealers go to the polls on November 6. So far, there's no indication that the youth vote will increase for the election. For Concordia News, I'm Alexa Tagore-Lorraine.
A feminist debate amongst municipal election candidates will take place next week. Organized by the Conseil des Montréalaises and the Table des Groupes de Femmes de Montréal, the event will invite the representatives of each party to voice their party's stance on certain women's issues. Joëlle Jalbert is here with this story. Joëlle, can you tell us more about the debate?
Yes, so I got the opportunity to speak to Anuradha Dugal. She's the president of Conseil des Montréalaises. And so she says that they're organizing this debate really to get women to go and vote in the municipal elections. Because we know that municipal elections tend to have a lower outcome in voters. And she thinks that she really wants the woman to know what the party's stances are on issues that affect women the most. And these topics include affordable housing and safety and security. So here's what she had to say about those topics.
The Conseil des Montréalais and the Table des Groupes de Femmes wants to bring forward just how important it is to ensure that women feel safe in public spaces in Montreal. And we don't think that that's been covered to a great degree in the current campaigns and the platforms that we've seen.
So what can the public expect from this debate?
So the way it's going to be organized is that they're going to ask questions about varying topics, such as the effects of the pandemic and how Montreal will come out of this situation. They're going to ask them about housing, about safety, and also the environment. And they're really going to try to give them an equal time to answer. There's also going to be a period of open questions, which is the most important period of because it really gives an opportunity for the public to ask their own questions.
And what are the women's organization groups in Montreal thinking of the debate?
I actually had a chance to speak with Sarah Ford, who's the executive director of the West Island Women's Center. And so they're a community organization that really gears towards improving the quality of life of women in Montreal. So she thinks it is important for women to be involved in politics and community organizing and discussions, because a lot of the services that the city offers directly affect women. In terms of what she'd like to see being covered, this is what she had to say.
I'd like to see how the different candidates are looking at how services are offered towards women, regardless of their age or stage, or regardless of what their life experiences are. There's no one size fits all. So
the virtual debate will take place on Zoom on October 26th at noon. If any member of the public that would like to attend can consult a Facebook event titled Débat Électoral Féministe, and they can register through that Facebook page.
Thank you, Joel. The debate about the role of women is happening next week. Tonight, there'll be a debate on economics at the town hall between Valérie Plante and Denis Coderre. Yesterday night, firefighters were sent to the Lachine Rapids to try to save boaters who were unable to reach shore. The boat which transported firefighters sank in the fast current. Three of the crew members were saved, but one tragically passed away as his body got stuck under their boat. A rescue crew is currently trying to get his body back on shore. Yesterday, around 6:40 p.m., an 18-year-old man suffered severe injuries in a spectacular car accident on Highway 30 near Vaudreuil-Dorion. The young adult tried to avoid an impact with a truck when he ended up falling from a bridge on Road 342. He was transported to hospital, but his life is not at risk. The cause of the accident is not clear, but speed could be a factor. Animal rights activists rally at the Palais de Justice de Longueuil in support for the pig trial defendants this morning. In 2019, a group of 12 activists intruded a pig farm in Saint-Hyacinthe, while farmers and the police quickly stopped and arrested those involved. Those activists are defending themselves today in court. Mohamed Khan is live on the scene. Mohamed, the trial is taking place in the courthouse, but most of the action seems to be outside.
The group direction action everywhere, and its affiliates gather here in front of the courthouse in the pouring rain with umbrellas, boots, and large posters rallying to support their members who intruded the Port Greg pig breeding facility 2 years ago. The unnamed activists documented and reported abuses and cruel living conditions of the animals in their break-in, but they now stand trial for their actions. While they themselves cannot comment, many have shown up today in solidarity.
What results are animal rights activists hoping to see from the trial?
So basically, the animal rights activists are hoping for a historic court decision today, one that not only proves the innocence of the defendants, but would set a legal milestone for activism and the promotion of animal rights in Canada. Toronto native and activist Ina Tonchescu explains her sentiments.
I don't want it to be just welfare and that we treat the pigs right, because there's no such thing. There's no humane slaughter. Everything is slaughter. You're killing someone for food. So why don't we just tell people in the first place that they don't need to do them from the beginning?
Other activists, such as Malcolm Klimovic, have taken similar action in the past, investigating multiple farms in Ontario and facing potential criminal repercussions as a result of Ontario's ag gag legislation, which has imposed strict legal restrictions on undercover work in agriculture. Despite this, activist Klimovic continues his work. This is what he had to say.
I would do this again because I care about animals so much, and I'm not the only one either. There's been many more trials of groups of people going into these factory farms time and time again to show the cruelty, and it won't stop happening.
So what is at risk for the defendants?
So the defendants face charges of breaking and entering and a 10-year jail time for their actions. They're hoping that the court understands their actions and the necessity of exposing animal cruelty wherever it may be. Due to their legal advice, the defendants and organizers have refused to comment on the matter.
That was Mohamed Khan reporting live from Longueuil. A new study shows that the COVID-19 pandemic is eroding the standard of living for many Canadians. This increase in the cost of living has forced Canadians further into debt. Here's Hannah Tjongson with the story.
The key findings of the study, one quarter of Canadians incurred at least one new type of debt during the pandemic. This new debt has made their standard of living worse. A little under half of Canadians saved less or not at all during the pandemic. More than half said it was due to an increase in spending on essentials such as groceries and housing. The rest have said it was because of reduced income or job loss. To manage their debt, more than half of Canadians have reduced non-essential spending, including entertainment and vacations. A little under half of the people reworked their budgets and sold off their possessions. According to financial advisor Hani Malek, people have reworked their budgets.
People were very careful about their spending. A lot of stuff has been cut off, actually. All the spending that we used to have before, like restaurants and travel and leisure, was forcibly actually stopped because of the pandemic. So
Canadians apply for government benefits in order to reduce their debts. According to political analyst Robert Frank, the government has been giving too much money to people.
The main thing is that Canada has borrowed more money and spread it amongst people more lavishly and in a more unequal way than any other rich nation on earth.
Canadians have also faced challenges in buying houses. The high cost of housing is forcing Canadians to put off their dream of home ownership. More than half of Canadians aged from 35 to 54 who don't own a home said they're unlikely to own a home in the next 3 years because they're unable to save enough money. More than half of Canadians say they're not confident that they can maintain their current standard of living once they stop receiving the government's benefits. It's Hannah Tongson for Concordia News.
On that note, CIBC conducted a poll on Canadians' hope for their future. One of the conclusions is that over half of Canadians say that the pandemic has forced them to reconsider what they value most in life. Two of their most common objectives are traveling and living a debt-free life. It is no surprise that one Canadian out of three says money is the biggest obstacle to their dreams. In sports today, the Chicago Sky captured their first WNBA title, a couple of surprising tennis champions, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Seattle Seahawks. Here's Jonathan McKay with all your sports news.
The ball, running with it, T.J. Watt swats it away.
The Pittsburgh Steelers slipped by with a three-point win over the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night. The team's final play, heard in this clip from TSN, allowed them to take hold of a loose ball and set up for the 36-yard winning field goal. This is the Steelers' second straight win after a slow start to the season. The Seahawks suffered a major loss after linebacker Darrell Taylor left the game on a stretcher. After the preliminary CT scan came back clear, Taylor is expected to fly home with the team. Seattle hopes to make a comeback in their game against New Orleans next Monday, and the Steelers have the week off before they head to Cleveland to take on the Browns on Halloween. The Indian Wells Tennis Tournament concluded Sunday, welcoming two surprise champions. Cameron Nori became the first tournament winner in over 10 years ranked outside the top 25. He played Nicolas Basilashvili, winning the second and third rounds of play. On the women's side, Paula Badosa became the one of three to win the title in their first appearance in the tournament. She joined Serena Williams, who won the title in 1999, and Bianca Andreescu in 2019. She defeated Victoria Azarenka Sunday in a grueling 3-hour and 4-minute game. The Ottawa Senators defeated the Dallas Stars 3-2 on Sunday, heard here on TSN. This is their second win on home ice. The Senators player Chris Tierney scored two of the game's goals, breaking the 1-1 deadlock and sealing their win in the second period. The Senators prepare for their next game against San Jose on Thursday. The Montreal Canadiens are preparing for three games this week following Saturday night's loss to the Rangers. The team hopes to break the streak after losing their last three games. They play San Jose on Tuesday, the Carolina Hurricanes on Thursday, and the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday.
Extend the lead. Time winding down. Griner throws up the shot. Doesn't matter. As the Chicago Sky win their first ever WNBA title. Parker running over to her family on the sidelines to celebrate as they take it.
On TSN Sunday, the Chicago Sky brought home their first ever WNBA title. They defeated the Phoenix Mercury 80-74 to take the championships. Ali Quigley scored 26 points for the team, but all eyes were on Chicago native Candace Parker. Parker returned home after playing in Los Angeles for 13 years to win the title. She added 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists. The nail-biter game was close, but a missed opportunity by the Mercury sealed Chicago's win. For sports, I'm Jordan McKay.
Thank you, Jordan. A Dallas home Halloween decoration confuses neighbors who called the police thinking they were witnessing a crime scene. A collection of fake dead bodies laying on the ground recreates the result of a massive massacre. The homeowner, Stephen Novak, says this is not the first time he receives the visit of police officers, and most likely not going to be the last one either. It's currently 8 degrees outside. This week will be mostly sunny, with Thursday being the only rainy day. If you're looking for the best day of the week, Wednesday's your pick, as the sun will shine and bring a great 17 degrees day in Montreal. The weekend will be mostly sunny, with a temperature of 11 degrees on both Saturday and Sunday. That's your news. To 11:30, thanks for listening for Concurrent News, Philippe Robert.